Well, good evening. Happy Tu Bishvat. Rosh Hashanah la'ilanot. It's beginning of a new year of the trees. And since we gather together and it's all ladies here, I think whenever there's a shiur for ladies, you have to talk about things that applies to ladies. What's the most important mitzvah for women? Who knows? Most important mitzvah.
Bread, challah,
mikvah, shabbat. No. Those are three important mitzvot, but I ask, what's the most important mitzvah?
Raising children.
No. No, you gotta do better. Cannot be so many women here and nobody knows. Huh? No. So, everything you say, it's important. Don't get me wrong.
Married woman or
any woman?
Any woman.
Oh, thank you, Baruch Hashem. It's very interesting. By the women, if you put the tzniut in one side of the scale, tzniut goes together later with taharat mishpacha because it's connected. When you put tzniut in one side of the scale and all the other mitzvot in her life, all of it, in the other side, tzniut will be heavier from all of them together. And most religious women have problems with their tzniut, and they won't be able to pass the test because the most important thing, which is more than 50% of their life, they don't have. So right away, they do so many mitzvot, and in the end, they come to Shamayim, and Hashem say, you fail in your life. She said, what do you mean I fail? I did challah every Friday. No, very nice. Hashem show her, beautiful. I kept Shabbat all my life. So beautiful. I did this. I did chesed. I cooked. I made sure there's no worms in the food. And got kosher. And I shopped. And I raised the children. And I did. And I did. Wow, a list of million things. And Hashem say, yes, that's true. But every second of your life, you made thousands of people commit sins. Every second of your life. You walked on Main Street, 500 men looked at you that day, 500 thoughts, later it got to this and this and this and that, multiplied by all these years, psh, the scale breaks. What a smart woman do? She want to correct the most important mitzvah, no? What's the most important mitzvah for a man? From all the mitzvot, men. Limud Torah. Learning Torah. Limud Torah keneged kulam. Learning Torah is the greatest reward and the worst punishment for not learning Torah. You know how many religious men don't have time to learn Torah, but they're busy with chesed, with Shabbat, with filin, with tarat mishpah, everything. They keep so many mitzvot, right? But they don't learn Torah. And in the end, they have a big fail in their life. They fail big time. Why? Because limud Torah keneged kulam. What the Torah says is the truth. It's not what we think. I know what you're going to say. What? So you want to tell me that I do all these mitzvot all my life just because I walk in a wedding open, or my clothes is too tight, or my hair is not 100% covered or not covered at all, or my wig is very, very not fancy, very not modest, too much, you know, colors, so because of that I lose everything. If I was Hashem, I would find you a way out of it. With my mercy and my stupid common sense, I would decide to give you chanina. You know what chanina is? I'll take all the ladies, I say, well, I feel bad for you. You know, you did so much. Shabbat, you took care of the guest, you did so much, you killed yourself so much to try to do what Hashem say. In the end, to make you fail in your whole life just because of one mitzvah, my heart doesn't let me do it. But unfortunately, you didn't get lucky that I am the decision maker, and Hashem is the decision maker, and we go by what He wrote in the Torah. How do we know that tzniut is the most important mitzvah for a woman? How do we know? Maybe I'm making it up. Why just pitom I started tzniut to talk about? It's the most important mitzvah for a woman. Why? The entire Tanakh, every time a woman is mentioned, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, why are they mentioned? for one reason, to teach about modesty. That's it. Nothing else. Everywhere, Rivka covered herself with the animals, the camels, not to make people pay attention to her. Leah, she went to the street. Because of that, she had a girl that got raped, Dina. It's all because she wasn't modest. Shlomit bat Dibri, in Mitzrayim, she wasn't modest. Not Chassid Shalom, she made sins. She went and talked to the men. Dibri, Rashi writes, she was talking too much to a man. Psh, look what happened to her. Sarah, one of the most four beautiful ladies in history. Avraham doesn't know how she looks when they're already old. Why? She's so modest from her husband. No, not to talk about the... Bottom line, you can challenge me. You can go and check one page by one. Every time a woman is mentioned, Rake bat Tzniut. Every time the Torah wanted to show a distraction, they showed distraction with the ladies. I'll give you an example. They hired Bilam to curse the nation of Israel that they should all die. Big tragedy, no? If Bilam would be successful, who knows what would happen? Maybe we won't be here talking tonight. Bilam is trying, yeah, they're offering millions, they're offering him money, they're sending important people to bring him, they give him a lot of kavod. He's afraid of Hashem. Hashem told him, don't dare to talk. Unless whatever I tell you, you say. In the end, Bilam wanted still to get money, so he was embarrassed that he couldn't help them. So he told him, let me give you an advice. Put women on the street, there will be the end of the Jews. Thousands of Jews died. Why? They put some goyot walking on the street. Right away, the damage was done. Didn't need curse of Bilam. They put women on the street, tragedies came. Then as a Mishnah, it says, when neighbors live in a neighborhood, and they have a mutual property, like it's called Mavoy. The front, like here in a co-op. You have property here. What happens if you want to bring a horse and you want to park the horse right here in the front? Can you park the horse or no? What do you say? Huh? I wish you would come 10 minutes ago.
You had class,
huh? All right. No. Yeah, here, you can go behind me. Okay, so, Yaakov, this is the show. Here, there's chairs here. So, as I started to say, the most important mitzvah for women in the Torah, in Judaism, is 100% tzniut, modesty. Most important. Soon I'm going to explain more in details, but I started to give an example that the Mishnah and the Chachamim, they want to teach us how to behave when we live in a neighborhood. Shev. When we live in a neighborhood. Now, what does it mean? If I want to bring a horse now and park it outside, the horse make dirt on the floor, I have a problem with my neighbor. The Torah doesn't give permission. If I want to park my car in the middle of the property here, I need to get permission from my neighbor. Everything you want to do in a mutual property, you have to get permission from the neighbor. Now, in the old days, they didn't have laundry machine like today. Pressing few buttons, everything is dried. America. But in the old days, how women used to do laundry? They carry all the laundry with soap, primitive soap, smell like gasoline. What do you think? How you clean the clothes? Very primitive. They clean, they rub it, they put it to hang. It's a lot of work. How did they used to do laundry? They have to make a hole in the middle of the neighborhood, big hole. They dig a hole, right, with a shovel. Now they bring cement, and they put on the side, and they make it look like a mikveh, with two or three stairs going down. They fill it up with water that they bring from the well. The kids bring water. They put some soap, they mix it. They put all the clothes inside, a few hours. They come, they clean it, they squeeze, they bring it back, and they hang it somewhere. That's how it was. Now, what's worse, to park your donkey? The BMW in those days was the donkey. The Mercedes was the horses. That's how it was. Everyone has a camel, a donkey. Now, he has to park him. He has to put food, So, animals Everybody understood there's no other way. You have to put them somewhere. So all the neighbors forgive one each other. Now the Gemara asks, a woman wants to make a hole and to do laundry. Does she need to ask permission from the neighbor? Because if you do something without permission, you consider a thief. If I go to someone's property and I make a hole in his backyard and I use it to hide my stuff, I'm a thief. Why am I a thief? I didn't steal anything from him. I invaded his privacy and I used his property without permission. He never gave me permission to even walk on his grass. That's considered stealing. So the point here, the woman now is going to make a hole. It's in the middle of the people. The people wants to walk. Is she permitted or she has to ask permission? Why I'm telling you this story? I didn't come to teach you about laundry now. The Gemara says, of course, they make a hole. They don't need permission from anyone. Even if the neighbors stand and scream, Rivka, you a thief. We don't allow you to make laundry here. It's a pin in the neck. Don't block the hole. She say, get inside your house. I'm doing laundry right here and it's not stealing. Why? Here comes the catch. The Gemara says, what's the other option? Would you ever consider to think even that a Jewish woman will go to the lake to make laundry like the Goyot? What Jewish woman will dare to go to a private lake to do laundry over there? I'm not talking walk with bikini on a beach. Going to do laundry in the lake. And they cover 100%. Not like today. None of them is almost modest. 100% cover. Nothing to see. She bends down, there's nothing to see. She stands, there's nothing to see. Cover, except the face. Jews are not allowed to cover their face. The Arab always try to show that they'll keep the mitzvot better than us. And they say, well, since the Jews are covered from head to toe, and they leave the face out, face of a woman, it's something pretty, let's cover the face, we'll do better. But they didn't know that Hashem said not allowed to cover the face. Face pnim, panim shows the inside of the personality of the person. That's why the face has to be open. But besides that, the Gemara says, of course, no Jewish woman would agree to go to the lake. This is only 2,000 years ago. A Jewish woman will not dare not to walk in the street, not modest. Not dare to go do laundry in a place that maybe a goy with a horse will pass by and will see her 100% modest. I give another example. The Gemara say a man has two ways to go to his destination. Two ways. One very short way, full of ladies. Not ladies like today. Remember, ladies like 2,000 years ago. We all remember our grandmother, how much more modest they used to be from us, and that was only 30, 40 years ago. I remember my grandmother every 30 seconds, make sure the air doesn't come out. Every 30 seconds, mamash like a disease. The hands automatically. Pushing the hair, make sure it doesn't come out. Why? Modesty. All the time. So many other women, 100% from the previous generation, 100% completely different than the girls today. Imagine 2,000 years ago how women used to be. So the Gemara say he goes with a street full of ladies. Shortcut. You want to go from here to here? 5 minutes walk. Or a much longer way, you have to go all around without any ladies, but probably an hour walk. And a person say, I'm going to walk through the ladies. I'm strong. I won't look at them. I'll go, my face down. I hear noise. I don't care. It won't distract my attention. And he went through and did not look at one girl. What a hero. No? Today, if you see somebody like this, let's say they had a candy camera from the television. They follow some rabbi, I don't know what, or somebody, yeshiva bachur. And they want to really show that this guy is not a tzaddik. It's fake. It's like, this candy camera in Israel, they have a lot of these shows. Try to catch people and show the whole world how wicked they are. So they followed that guy. Bad luck. They followed him. 5 minutes walk through all these ladies, young, old, whatever. And he didn't look at one of them. He went like this. And the whole world saw that movie. What would happen to this bachur? Right away, he became Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai of the generation. Hundreds of people would stand online to get a bracha from him. Finally, we found one kosher rabbi in this generation. After all the Lashon Hara, we hear about them every day, and all the fake ones, and all this babot. Finally, one holy that really watch his eyes. No, never looks at anyone. Look! What does the Gemara say? Rasha, 100% wicked. This guy, who did not look at the girls, 100% wicked. Why? He took the risk of cutting through an area full of ladies. Yes, he did not sin. But since he wasn't afraid that maybe something will go wrong, that show he doesn't have enough fear from God. He is not a tzaddik. He had to go in a much longer way. Now, why it's so important, modesty? Why? Because Hashem is the symbol of perfectness. What does it mean? Everything that Hashem is perfect. And one of the things that Hashem is perfect about is Elohim soneh zima. Elohim hates any kinds of not modest relationship, any kinds of erva, anything that is not modest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand. It's despicable in his eyes. We learn in history, first of all, I don't know if you know, in the Torah, the most difficult, the worst severe punishments, it's for forbidden relationships. The worst sins, except three sins. There are three sins that are exception to the rule, like Chilul Hashem. I'm not talking about this right now. In everyday sins, the worst punishment, men and women, forbidden relationship. The worst, touching, doing, the worst punishment. There's nothing come even near that category. From the level of the punishment, what do we learn? How much it gets God angry, right? If I stole $100, Hashem is upset at me. But since he only told me you have to pay $200 and I forgive you, that shows that it's not the end of the world, stealing $100. No, can make tshuva 1, 2, 3. Itzik, I'm sorry I stole $100 for you. Come, where are you? Here I come. I pay you the $100 back now. Let's say they caught me, the police. What do I have to do? Pay double. That's the worst can happen. No jail, no nothing. So what do you see from here? It's very easy to correct. But forbidden relationship, how difficult it is to erase it. There's no words to describe. Now, why it's such a bad thing? All the sins that a person does, it's a sin between him and God. I made a sin. Me and God, we have a business now to take care of. I have to correct it. If I don't correct it, I have a problem with him. That sin, that a woman walks in the street and people enjoy her beauty, she makes sure that everyone pays attention to her. In the old days, women that were not modest, the Gemara said they used to put bells in their shoes, that it makes noise. You know why? That in case you didn't see me, now you know a woman is coming, so you turn around automatically. Or, the very tall woman, tall and skinny, she used to make sure she has two short midgets friends, that she walks in the middle, and both of them are very short, that everyone automatically pay attention to her height. You know? This is it. Now, in the time of the Gemara, a woman that the Gemara wants to describe as a prostitute, what example they give? A woman that pick up her skirt to her knee. Just picked up the skirt all the way to the knee, nothing above the knee. Gemara call her a prutza, to the knee. Today, even the halacha allow up to the knee. When a woman sits, he has to cover the knee. But just to show you the terms of those days, what's the truth and how far we are from the truth. Now, you know, the Torah never changed. It's still the same requirements. Hashem is expecting from every woman to be just like then. Nothing changed. Yes, television, movies, the goyot are horrible the way they are. Well, it shouldn't affect us. We learn Torah and Musar and we'll be strong. It will not bother us. We'll be very strong. Now, why it's such a bad sin? Because there are two categories when it comes to sin. There is a sin that it's your problem. You made a sin. You have a problem now. There is a sin that you create problems to others. That's called chote umachti, making other Jews commit sins. Even though it's out of your control, once you went out not modest, you cannot control who will look at you and who's not. The fact that you dare to do it, it could have been a million guys a day. It could be 10,000, it can be 500,000, depending where you go. And you have no way to know in the beginning of the day how the day will end. It can end with 10,000 sin, it can end with 10 million sins. Plus, there's a chain reaction. He's a married man, he sees the way you are, he goes to his wife, he has a fight with her because his mind is somewhere else. 2 months later, they get divorced. There's 5 children over there. One of them becomes a big criminal. He becomes a murderer. He murdered the chief rabbi of Israel. Thousands of students learn less Torah. It's all because you went, not modest. You come to Shamayim. Hashem say, come see what a wicked woman you are. You say, me? Afrashat chala, perfect. Shabbat, perfect. This, perfect. Retailin, 3 hours a day. I'm a wicked woman? And just to show you the murderer that killed the chief rabbi, say, look what you did. I did it. I don't even know that murderer. Should destroy him. What do you want from me? You know why he's a murderer? Because his father left the house and left his mother alone, and she lost control on the children. That's what happened to a lot of these broken families. And then he was hanging on the street and met all the criminals, and 10 years later he was a murderer. And the chief rabbi came to talk to him and told him stop, and he got angry at him and he threw a stone in his head and he killed him, and it's your fault 100%. And this is how it works. I'm not exaggerating here. This is 100%. For good or for bad. If you save a soul, every sin that you prevented goes to your account. You get credit for. If you destroy a soul and it's your fault, everything that person does negative is 100% your responsibility. Now, let's say a woman one day became really religious, not fake, real. No more opening up, no more tight clothes, no more written here in the front, I love New York, all this nonsense that I see by supposedly religious women. Not tons of lipstick everywhere and makeup and all kinds of rainbow colors all over. Sometimes the women look more like a clowns like than a religious woman. Why? She wants Vinny and Guido and Anthony looking at her when she goes to the supermarket. When her husband comes from work after working like a slave, he comes home, he sees Safta Yachne, cover, the potato bag is on her head, everything like this, sweating, schlepping. What's happening? This is my wife? She doesn't care. Now she has to go, she forgot to buy bread. Okay, half an hour. What's the problem? Going across the street? No, but the goyim will see me like this without my $10,000 shetel. That shows who she really is, ma. A modest woman care what the goyim thinks about her when she walk in the street. I know one woman I know that never dared to put a wig. I know that woman. And she always said to her husband, the real challenge is when the weddings come. And there's no wedding, I don't care. I don't even brag about, I'm dreaming about a wig. All week I don't have a need for it. Once in a while when we're invited to a nice wedding, not every wedding, those fancy weddings with all the high society people, everyone come with the $10,000 wig, that's when she feels, so I told her, you don't understand. 3 months not in a wedding, it's a very small test for you because you don't have a challenge. That 2 hours, you get reward more than the whole 3 months. What do you think? The Gemara say, Lefum tzara agra. According to the efforts, that's how the reward is determined. A person that has $2,000 life saving, and he give $500 of it for CD to make Jews religious. Or a person that has $20 million and gave $500 for CDs, they deserve the same reward? Huh? What do you think? This broke guy that took a quarter of his wealth to help Jews, he doesn't know if tomorrow he's going to have enough for rent. And this guy that has $20 million did the same thing. They deserve the same reward? Only a fool would think that they deserve the same reward. A person that learned in yeshiva and murdered, and a person who grew up in a worse neighborhood in Israel and murdered, they deserve the same punishment? No, of course not. You grew up in yeshiva with holy people and you became like this, and he grew up like an animal, that's a different story. Everything is measured 100%. Now, when is the test of a woman is harder? When she's pretty or when she's ugly? You may think, the prettier she is, the harder the test is. Because the person always likes to highlight, the person is always trying to highlight what he's good about. Person that is smart makes a lot of noise. He runs everywhere he goes. I went yesterday to a lecture, and one guy came to me after the lecture, and the first second he wanted to impress me who he is, like he's a Mossad agent. He went all over the world, and he saw all the Jewish community in all over the world. Every country he's been there as a trainer of agents all over the world. So why he opened the conversation with this? To impress me. He could have talked to me as two Israelis, one to another, and I would not know who he is. But he wants me to pay him a lot of attention. Because the stigma, oh, Mossad agent, oh, is it James Bond, this guy. Psh, what a lucky guy I am. He comes to say hello to me after the lecture and give me a compliment. If I get a compliment from a fool after my lecture, it's not the same if I get a compliment from a genius guy, right? Until this day, I'm so excited. The chief of New York State, the controller, Alan Avesi, he was in my lecture, argued with me 45 minutes, and in the end admitted the Torah is from Hashem. You know what he did to me? More than 10,000 others. Right? These 10,000 others is not in the same of a person that signed on $20 billion a year checks and ran the whole New York State and control 20 million people and control the court and control the judges and control the police and control the schools and control the pension plan. More power than the entire government of Israel, this person alone. And he comes to a lecture and he says, wow, the Torah is divine. Psh, that's how the world is. So you may think, the prettier the woman is, the harder it is to hide her beauty. That's logic. But today, there's no more rules. The most biggest monster in history, they try to show their ugliness to the whole world. You see what's going on out there. Not one drop of respect the ladies have today. But we as Jews, we have to remember our mission. From all these millions and billions of women in the world, Hashem is taking his magnified glass and check the Jewish girls. Now, which Jewish girls? Girls that grew up in Manhattan, in a kibbutz, in Switzerland, on the beach. Those girls don't have any idea what they live for, Bichlal. You can come and take a spoiled girl that her father is a Jew billionaire from Manhattan that grew up in a penthouse in Fifth Avenue and all her life was like a Goya in a private Goy school and ask her to wear long skirt and not to put makeup and not to chat with the guys on the internet. What's the chance you'll succeed? She'll think you're crazy. She doesn't have an idea what she lives for. These 5% of the Jewish women in the world that knows and they betrayed God, that's a big pain. If a father has 10 children, 9 of them are complete morons. Nothing. They don't understand anything. Black. One of them is a genius. Genius. Psh, what a special, bright person. Since he's a kid, everything, math, history, Torah, everything he knows, control. His head is like a computer. When the 9th always brings 0 on a test, 40, fail. At one point, he tell his wife, don't even bother me. Do something with that. Ah, when the boy, that is his pride, he fell in a big test, that kills him. One test of the sun that is a shining diamond could be like a million tests of all the other morons. It's not the same. This is my pride. This is, the Torah says, Israel b'chayt pa'ar. You are the reason for me to be proud of my creation. Baruch Elokeinu shebra'anu lichvodo. Create us for his glory, for his honor. He didn't create us to walk like animals in the street. But Israel, respect is inside, not outside. So the truth is that the prettier the woman is and she's modest, she gets higher reward from a not pretty woman. That's true. Same thing, a person that is very smart and he hides his wisdom not to get a show off. And a person that is a fool and is not talking, it's not the same. Someone who has what to say and he put himself down because he wants to be humble, he gets a big reward. So let's make an order in what we say so far. There is two kinds of sinner. Chote, only me and you. And that's my problem with you, Yom Kippur, Tshuva, whatever. Chote umachti. Why chote umachti is horrible? Because even if a woman wants to make tshuva, she doesn't know where to start. Where is she going to find all the Yossi and all the Itzik and all the Yankees and all the Avners and all the Avrumis that saw her in the last 15 years, 20 years? Where is she going to find them? She doesn't even know who looked at her. She doesn't know where they are. She doesn't know how to ask them to forgive her that she destroyed her Olam Haba. She doesn't know who because of her left the yeshiva after he was seeing her every day in the neighborhood and he closed the Gemara because he couldn't think anymore. She doesn't know where to start. It's impossible to make tshuva for this because it's chote umachti. What is it like Lashon Hara? You spoke Lashon Hara in front of an audience about somebody? That's it. There's no way to correct it 100%. You can do your best. You can send them emails. You can put on a newspaper an apology letter. You can say on television, I was a liar, I made it up. It's too late. Some of the people won't accept your apology. Some of them already transferred it to others. What is it like taking a pillow full of feathers, hitting it on the roof of the Empire State Building, and all the feathers are flying all over with the wind. It gets to Japan already. Where are you going to find all the feathers to put it back in a pillow? Impossible. Same thing here. Now, the Gemara said that Abaye, I'm sure you heard his name, is one of the important rabbis in the Talmud. One time he heard that his neighbors are about to take a trip. The woman asked the man if he can give her a ride with his carriage and his horse from Yerushalayim, let's say to Lud, somewhere around Yerushalayim. It's hours of riding the carriage, hours. So he said, of course, tomorrow morning I'm leaving early, join me. The rabbi is an old man. He heard that a young man and a young woman from the neighborhood are about to take a carriage together and walk together, alone. But, you know, remember, it wasn't a beautiful road like you go today to Yerushalayim. There was a lot of trees, you have to go in between, so you have privacy. When a man and a woman have privacy, the Yetzer Hara begin to push. Wake up, time is running out. When there's no privacy, the Yetzer Hara knows he doesn't have a choice. What is he going to do? In the middle of Main Street, he's going to talk to her. Everyone will know he's not religious. It's going to be his end. He ruins his reputation. In a forest, in the middle of the ocean, in a 100th floor in the Twin Towers, when it's 8 o'clock in the evening and no one is in the building, the Yetzer Hara begins to work. So Abaye said, you know, I better follow them. Why I better follow them? Because I'm sure that they're going to make a scene. And he started to follow them. An old man. He runs after the carriage from far away. Just for the moment that the man maybe will touch her hand or something. After a few hours, they reach their point that he has to go right and she has to go left. And they didn't touch each other. Thank you for giving me a ride. I appreciate it. Goodbye. Finished. They went. The rabbi fell on the floor and started to cry. Until somebody passed by and said, Rabbi, get up. Why are you crying? He said, see that man over there? Yeah. See that woman over there? Yeah. What's the problem? I followed them all the way from Yerushalayim to here. No, and what happened? The guy also got nervous. It was another tzaddik. He said, nothing happened. They talked Divrei Torah the whole way. And in the end, they say goodbye nicely, and they went. Perfect. No sin. So the guy said, Baruch Hashem, I'm relaxed now. So why are you crying? So you don't understand, huh? Why I'm crying? Not for them. For them, I'm happy. For myself, I'm crying. If I would give a ride to this woman, I for sure would make a scene with her. An older person, Gdol Ador, the chief rabbi of Israel 2,000 years ago, which means if you take all the rabbis in the world combined together, they won't reach his level. And that's in the Gemara. It's not stories, somebody came in a dream and told us a dream. It's in the Gemara. Why? The greater you are in Torah, the bigger your Yetzer Hara is. Why Hashem made a rule that the holier you become, the more righteous you become, your Yetzer Hara become harder and harder, your evil inclination. Why is it? Why the evil inclination disturb you more and more and more? Why is it? The answer is, a person went to the gym. He wants to work out. In the first week that he went to the gym, they give him 5 pounds. In each hand. They tell him 3 minutes, go like this, go home. What do you mean? I came here, you're sending me home after 5 minutes? Yeah, it's not good for the muscles. 5 pounds, 3-4 minutes, it's enough for today. Tomorrow, 4 minutes. Next day, thank you. The next day, 10 minutes. The next day, 20 minutes. Then you make it 10 pounds, 15 pounds. 2-3 years later, you come, 300 pounds. What happened? If after 3 years that his muscle became very, very strong and healthy, you still give him 5 pounds. Huh? What is it like? Like I take these two pistachios and go in a gym like this. Everybody will say, put him in a barbanel. It's crazy. Like this. Right? Or better. You see somebody in a gym, he has mishkolet, weight, with a special jack, electronic jack, electric jack. He puts the 300 pound on the jack, he presses the button, he goes up and down, up and down. Somebody say, what are you doing? I say, you guys are stupid. All day you're killing yourself, you're working hard, you're sweating. Look at me, I come here, I press, I smoke my cigar. That's a guy that has no idea what he lives for. It's because he doesn't know the purpose. The purpose of the gym is to work on your muscle. You want the machine to do it? You didn't arrive to your life yet. But what am I saying here? The point is that when a person grows in his level, when a woman just became religious today, obviously in the first week she's not going to be Sarah Imenu. Ah, it took her 6 months, she agreed to wear skirt. 6 months. After that, in the beginning it was very tight. You know these women that they try to get up from the chair, it takes them half an hour because the skirt is so tight they cannot move. You know? I don't know how they got it on. That's to begin with. So much suffering to attract attention from Anthony and Mark. So much suffering. Well, and in the end, pay a big price for this stupidity. So after 6 months, no, another inch to each side. 6 more years, another inch. 60 more years, another inch. In the end, Baruch Hashem, maybe she had one day in her life that she really dressed properly. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe the Rebbitzin came to give a lecture in her house. You know, it's very interesting. If you see, every time a rabbi comes to a house and the woman opens the door, what's the first thing she's doing? Like this. Why? Automatically, oh, the rabbi. What about Hashem? No, I never saw a woman that think, Hashem, Hashem, wow, I'm not modest enough. You know, maybe it's too open, maybe it's the colors, maybe they attract attention. No fear from Hashem. Fear from the rabbis, yes. Fear from the people, maybe. Fear from Hashem, that's already a little bit too much. So before we finish, we just have to know one thing. The greater a person becomes, Hashem makes his test harder and harder. If it won't be harder, what do you want reward for? After 2-3 weeks, you became religious. It's a piece of cake, the religion. You want to stay like this for the rest of your life? What do you want to earn for? Nothing. You grow. I make your test harder and harder to reward you. We say it every day in the prayer. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Israel. Hashem wanted to benefit the nation of Israel. Lefichach hirba lahem Torah u'mitzvot. Therefore, he gave them a lot of mitzvot, a lot of Torah. He gave them a little Torah, the size of a tikkun haklali, 10 pages. That's the Torah, finished. After 15 minutes, you know it by heart, end of story. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? Now, I'm telling you, if a woman will check herself, she sees that the hardest mitzvah for her is modesty. The harder it is, that's an indication that this is your test in life. One time I had a woman with her husband came to me for Shabbat. And she wasn't modest at all. And I started to talk to her about modesty. And in the end, she said, okay, you know what? I'm willing to cover my head, but I can't wear a skirt. So I say, usually, I always hear the other way around. I put skirt, no big deal. A lot of the goyot also put skirt. But I can't cover my hair. Not yet. Talk to me in 5 years. So I said to her, you're willing to cover? Cover, not a wig. Real cover. And to walk with the jeans? I say, yeah. She said, I can't think myself not skirt. It's not, I can't get used to it. The whole Shabbat I'm begging her, she's not giving up. So I say to myself, you know, when you tried everything in a nice way and it doesn't work, what are you supposed to do? Take the last card that you have. You know, you have the Joker. You have to pull the Joker now. I took out the Sefer HaZohar. Where do I open? Masechet Geinom. I tell her, come, I want to show you what's the punishment of modesty. 5 minutes, I started to talk. She said, okay, enough. Said her. Today she's the secretary of a big rabbi in Brooklyn. She read seminar, Shabbatonim, Pesach, 600 people. Modest, more than the Rebbitzin. Why we have to understand only when the gun is already to the head? Why? Why that? Only then we understand. Shabbat. Only people understand when the gun, they load the gun and you put it to their hand, then they become tzaddikim. But that's not what Hashem wants. If Hashem wanted that, if one second he would let us see what's going on around us in space. We would see all the dead people in space, in Kafakela, all the demons, all the angels flying in space. The Zohar say, 1 second, if you could see what's around you, everyone would run to the yeshiva. Nobody would need the rabbi to beg them, come, learn Torah. No. Right away, they leave the business, the diamonds, the jewelry in 47th Street. They don't even pick it up. Soon as they see 1 second what happened here, either they get a stroke, or they run by feet all the way to Monsi, climbing on a snowy day, running to the yeshiva. Why? Because they won't be able to waste another minute like they did all their life. But that's not what Hashem is interested in. Because if a person comes to the yeshiva because he has a gun to his head, even a Nazi would come to learn Gemara with a gun to his head. Even Arafat would come and learn Shnayim Ochazin Betalit. Does he have a choice? There's a gun. I'm going to have to give him reward because there's a gun to his head. The idea of a woman to be modest, not only God forbid when the cancer comes. No. Hashem signaled to the women to wake up. Today cancer became an epidemic. Almost in every Jewish family there's at least one patient. At least one, if not four or five sometimes. Unfortunately, every 10-15 minutes I get a new text or an email to my BlackBerry. Pray for this woman, pray for this man, pray for this woman, pray for this one. You already, I said in my last lecture a week ago, when we spoke about this subject, I said, it used to be that I have a list. I come to my wife or to other people, I tell them, here is a list of sick people, they need refuah and yeshua. Please read Tehillim for them, you read anyway. Mention them before the Tehillim. Today it doesn't pay to give the list. The list is so long, it will take longer to read the names of all the sick people than the actual reading of the Tehillim. What's the point of reading all these names? 1 hour just to mention all these names. And it's growing by the minute. Why is it? Is it coincidence? The answer is no. When Hashem gave a sickness to the generation, we have to check in what organ of the body it comes. What is the number one cancer for women? One out of 8 women in the world, breast cancer. Coincidence? Of course not. What's the second most popular cancer in the world? In the womb and the uterus. The inside of a woman, when she makes sins with, it's number 2. What's number 3? Brain. 1, 2, 3. The 3 organs in the body that connect to the crimes that a man and a woman does. The woman pays the price in those 3 places when she makes sins. No, the man, number 1 cancer for men, prostate cancer. And nobody gets the point. Nobody gets the point. Why didn't have this kind of cancer 100 years ago? There were always sinners. Always sinners. But not like now. Every person, every hour, every day. What's going on here? Pnei ador kepnei kelev. Even animals and horses are more modest than people. You understand? Maybe you can send the girl outside. I want to say something. I don't want her to hear. Wait for us 1 minute outside. Okay. Maybe forget about it. No, I won't say it. It's better not to say it. And maybe other kids will watch it. But I'm telling you, trust me when I tell you, I have so many stories from life that people went to make scenes, and what happened to them? Forget it. They went to make scenes, and in the end they got their wives and their daughter. They never dreamed what happened to them. It's all mida keneged mida, mida keneged mida. So many women come to me to cry to me about their husband, what they do to them. And they, when they come, I already see the way they come, the way they dress, and I understand the whole picture. Hashem punished them for the way they dress every day. Now I don't have the guts to tell them in their face. I know them for 10 seconds. They just came. They see me here, they see me on the street, they see me after the lecture. So they come. I don't know who she is. She said, Rabbi, you have to talk to my husband. I'm begging you. He's destroying me. He's doing this. He's doing that. Here is his number. Can you call him? Can you talk to him? Can I bring him to talk to you? And in reality, she's not even understanding that everything he does to her is a punishment from Hashem. Even if she would be single, Hashem would punish her in a different way. And he punished her because she's machtiat arabim. You don't need to be mefarsem isha kazot. The whole world see her. Yes, yes, yes. Every person who makes sins in hidden rooms, one way or the other, Hashem will publish him to the world. It all depends. If the sins are sins between him and Hashem, he destroyed himself, we don't have permission to go and speak Lashon Hara about him. But if the sins that he does hurting the public, for instance, if he's a shochet, let's see, shochet, the whole community buy from his slaughtering. And then someone says, smokes on Shabbat, I saw him. He goes to the back of his backyard, 2 or 3 times, I'm his neighbor, I see him smoking on Shabbat, every Shabbat. You must publish him. You don't have a choice. You cannot hide it. Why? Because his shechita is taref. You're not allowed to eat from his meat. Chalel Shabbat, that's slaughter, the animals are not kosher. If you're not saying everyone eats meat that is not kosher, paying 3 times on a price and receiving donkey meat. Understand? Same thing, a person that is Baal Korei in a shul or blowing the shofar, and in the end they sell taref chicken like it was in Monsit 3-4 years ago, if you remember the big scandal. This was one of the important people of the community. He accepted in a committee of one of the best yeshivot which kid will get in and which one will not in. He reads in the Torah, he blows the shofar, he's the chazan in Yom Kippur, and in the end he's worse than Yasser Arafat. If somebody knew that he sell not kosher meat and didn't speak, oilom yomadin, that he could prevent it or not. Lashon Hara sometimes is a very big mitzvah, depend when. If you are an assistant of a fake Baba, the last kosher Baba was Baba Sali. After him, all the Babot are fake. I'm telling you already, make sure you never give a penny, to any rabbi in the world that you have a problem and you come in to help him and he tell you, give me to my yeshiva, give me to me, give me for that, give me for my shul, give me for that. If he asks for money in advance before he agrees to help you or to give you attention or time, right away stay away from him. Not only he won't help you, will make you more damage and steal your money. If he say, of course, we'll pray for you, I'll give your name to all my students in yeshiva, please let me know what happened, and in the end you got cured, then you know Hashem really listened to their prayers and they did something and they really helped you, don't ever dare to be ungrateful. If you have money, give them big time and give them help in any way you can, because Hashem doesn't like ungrateful people. He made you religious and you can care less about him. He saved your life and you can care less about him. That's not good. But to tell you, oh, if you give me $180,000, your boy will be cured. Don't worry, he doesn't need surgery. The cancer will be gone. Rabbi, $180,000? The whole house doesn't work that much. Where will I get it? Sell your house. You want to save your son? Give me the money. We need a special tikkun nefesh. We have silver coins. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. You give me the money, you'll see your son. What happened when he dies? Of course he won't give you a refund. In Macy's, they give refund. In Costco, he won't give you a refund. He won't even answer your phone. His assistant of that baba will tell you, don't disturb the rabbi, he's busy. Only foolish people give them money. You always tell them, whatever you want from me, I'll give you double. Double. I work in washing floors and I pay you for 20 years. Save the boy if you can, I'll give you double. They won't agree. That's a proof that they're crooks. And I always say it in almost every week. Don't be fooled by them. An ad in a newspaper. Why they advertise in secular newspapers? Because they know the chilonim, they don't understand that it's fake. He sees him with the beard and all this show. He believed this nonsense. It's much easier to fool them. The religious people already got some sechel. They already understand there's a lot of nonsense here. You understand? But don't ever be fooled by people. I'm not saying that tzaddikim cannot help you and they pray for you. But I'm saying in the name of Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul, which was the biggest tzaddik in the world and biggest chacham, he said in his shiurim to his people, if someone asks money in advance, it's sitra achra, stay away from him. One woman called me that there's one Bukhari and two brothers in Brooklyn that milk so much money from people and do horrible things, kishufim, takes hair. And one of them told me yesterday that he told her, don't tell that rabbi that you've been by me. What a stupid woman. If you go to a guy like this and he tells you, don't tell that rabbi that you came to me, don't you understand right away that something is wrong? If you come to me and I say, yeah, yeah, I pray for you, I'm going to make my shiurim to your health, and I don't want anything from you. And then I say to you, don't tell him that you... What's going on here? You don't realize something is fishy? But she didn't realize. And her life is destroyed. Her marriage is destroyed. Everything in her life is destroyed. Everything. He made her a kishuf. Hashem Elohim, I don't want to tell you what happened because I don't want to give too much information about her. And she's one of many that goes to these people. And they take a lot of money and they write all kinds of names of bad things in a cloth and they tell them, Kamea, put it on your head. They don't know the people that they bring them bad luck to their life. They do very bad things. And one fool follow the other. So you have to bury them deep in at least one ama inside the ground. Make a big hole and dig it inside. Kmogniza, bidyuk. Don't ever be fooled by people. There's too many naive people, and the crooks, they always go to the naive people. Why they don't go to the yeshivot? Why? Because they know everyone over there is a chacham, he's going to kick me out of the window. Why they sit in places when all the chilonim coming? You know, in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there was one person for 20 years cover his head, sitting there, he has a boot. Everyone who comes to him, he has a tehillim, and he pretends that he's a holy Baba Sali, and then he can put tefillin. You have to keep Shabbat, you have to do this, you have to do... In the end, after 20 years, they found out he's an Arab. So they told him, Mustafa, why you keep saying, keep Shabbat, put tefillin, eat kosher? He said, how else would I get money from them? Tell them, come to the mosque, come to the church. How I fool a Jew? I pretend that I'm a real kosher rabbi. What am I going to say to them? Eat pork? Nobody thinks. We don't need this. You have a problem, scream to Hashem. You can read your own tehillim. You can scream to Hashem. You can check your own mezuzot. But don't count on the mezuzot too much. Everyone that has a problem, right away takes his mezuzot to the sofer, hoping the sofer will find that they're not kosher. Why? It's much easier to take $200-$300 and buy 2, 3, or 4 more mezuzot and put in the house and solve the problem than to correct myself. To correct myself may take 20 years. Nobody wants. Nobody wants to take away his ego, his stinginess, his pride, his arrogance, his anger. He's not a loyal person. He's ungrateful. His laziness. All the problems that a person has, nobody wants to fix. What's better? Let me check my mezuzah. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it was not kosher. How much, Rabbi? Here, take $200. Here is a tip. He's so happy. So I have a sofer in Monsi. Everyone who comes to him, my son is very sick, Rabbi. Check the mezuzah. This is the mezuzah in his room. They're hoping that it's going to be pasul. So he tells them in advance, it's not the mezuzot. Don't be over-optimistic. Before we check your mezuzot, did you check yourself? You're honest in the business? Check again. You're a good husband? Check again. You're learning Torah every day? Check again. You have good midot? Or you're worse than a chiloni on a beach? Check yourself. What do you watch on the internet? What do you watch in your office? One guy, religious guy, a real tzaddik, he works in an office when a chilonit woman in Israel, she come, you know how they dress, Hashem Yirachem. She sits right in front of him. He's in this desk and she's here. All day he has to close his eyes. He cannot move in the office. They put them in the same room. So he asked her, he said, please dress modestly, just for the business. Don't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are, you religious people? You think you're going to ruin the whole world for everyone? I'll do whatever I want. If you talk to me one more time, I come with less clothes. He comes to his rabbi. He says, Rabbi, I don't know. That's the parnasa of my house. What should I do? Should I quit? Should I trust Hashem and go find a job? The rabbi told him, no. He said, but to go there, I'm not allowed. We have this Gemara. The guy made a shortcut. He didn't look at the women as in Russia. Every day I look at her. I have no way to run. So the rabbi told him, take gasoline from the gas station when you put in your car, put it all over your clothes. Wear a suit that you don't need. Put the gasoline all over your clothes and come to the office tomorrow morning. Say, Rabbi, are you serious? He said, that's what you do. He comes to the office the next day. She said, what's this? Moshe. He said, this is the new life from now on. That's my new perfume. I said, come on, you serious? You need to be hospitalized. You're crazy. You're mishugene. He said, that's what you're going to get from me every day. Now he comes closer to her with a chair. He said, I'm willing to give you one last chance. Tomorrow I won't offer you this. You're going to start dressed like a rabbit sent from tomorrow morning, and I won't come with gasoline. If tomorrow you don't come like a rabbit sent, for the rest of your life, I'm going to put my jacket with these things here and you won't be able to breathe. I don't care about that. I love gasoline. The next day she came like the wife of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Understand? בתחבולות תעשה לך מלחמה. אם נבל, תתנבל. There's no choice. Thank you very much. Happy 2 בשבט. I have a third lecture now.